There is a wonderful fundraiser happening in the making of a film about the Ladd School, and front page story in the Providence Journal today, if you read the journal, but it's also posted on our mission bulletin with information about a fundraiser and work that is being done with Advocates in Action, which Rolf used to be the president of Advocates in Action, in telling this story with people who actually lived there. It's an amazing, amazing project, so please take note. On Friday evening, our youth group is meeting sixth grade to 12th grade at our house. We are doing care packages for our college students, and the ones that are far off and the ones who are nearby. So college students, words to the wise, if you want care packages, come next Sunday too. Any college students who would like to come and hang with our youth on Friday night, we'll definitely have food, but you can also give some of our middle schoolers and high schoolers the inside scoop of the true life of college. We'll give you your own room to do that. So, so see me afterwards if you'd like to participate in that in any way. That's next Friday. Next Saturday is Camp Street Food Pantry Work Day. If you were willing to volunteer to be part of that team, we usually take four or five people from the church to follow through on our every third week commitment on that. The sign-up sheet is in the Hope Room on the bulletin board. Other announcements this morning. I do know that there is a 20s and 30s game night upcoming on Friday the 21st, I believe. Any of the 20s and 30s can give you more information about that, or if you need the Evite for that, let me know and we'll make sure that you get that information. I don't see Jenny right now. Other announcements this morning. Let us join then in the responsive call to worship. We have been called the salt of the earth. Let us remain fresh and distinctive. We have been called the light of the world. Let us shine brightly in the midst of pain and confusion. We have been called a city set on a hill. Let us, like Jerusalem, lift our gates, lift our hearts, and lift our voices in the worship of God. Let us praise God as we join together with the worship band leading us in 10,000 Reasons. Let us stand.
Do that one over.
Bless the Lord. Your name is great and your heart. end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name.
Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name.
Again and again, we stand in need of God's power to forgive, to make all things new. God invites us to bring all of our lives to God in confessing our sin, our brokenness, our need to be made whole. In that spirit, may we come seeking God, first in silence, then praying together in the prayer of our bulletin. Continuing in prayer. Creator God, we push ourselves into exhaustion with petty tasks. We offer one another faint-hearted relationships. We run after so many good things that we run out of energy. We depend upon our own capacities of youth or competence, planning or understanding. God, slide your wing under our stumbling. Give us your hand on our weary walk. Forgive us our foolish pride and our self-wasting. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, which you may find in the small hymnal number 2143, O Lord, Your Tenderness, remaining seated. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Friends, believe this good news. In and through Christ, we are forgiven and called to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We've come to the portion of our service where we like to share our joys and our concerns among our church family. I have already asked Pastor Chris to pray for my family who live in Karachi, Pakistan. Nothing new has happened. It's just the ongoing life of living in Karachi. So I do appreciate prayers for them. His name is Aaron, Christy, and Tatum. Are there any other joys or concerns you would like to share this morning?
My joy was spending Friday night with our confirmands. You know, we have the best teenagers in the world. And to spend an evening with them and, you know, talking about spiritual practices and realizing, you know, their struggle as they try to figure out, you know, make decisions about their spiritual life forever. And, you know, it was just a pleasure to be there. It was so much fun. And you got to get to know these kids. They're the best.
Continued prayers for Walter.
I have two prayers today. One is for Freedom Food Farms, which is, I hear is in the newspaper this morning. My daughter works for them, and they are transitioning from Rhode Island to Massachusetts. There's a lot of pressure on farmland in Rhode Island, and the land that the farm is on is going to be sold off to developers. The second prayer is for all the drug problems that we have in the state, in the nation. Rhode Island is something like number 15 out of 50 states. In other words, toward the high side in our problems with prescription drugs and heroin. Interestingly enough, we have 8 of the 10 factors that we need to serve people with addiction. So that is a very good thing. Thank you.
Continual prayers for Juliet, who's been moved to a nursing home and recuperating, and also Wanda, a colleague of mine who also had a stroke, and Rhonda, who is also having issues with the cancer, ongoing cancer. So lots of prayers for these three people.
Thank you for praying for my family in the last couple weeks since my grandmother died. We had a really good trip to Ohio last weekend to be with family and to celebrate her life, and would just love your continued prayers for our family. And Julia has some really good news. She found out she got into Tufts on Friday, so we're very excited for her. Thanks.
Hi. I have a special prayer request for my mom, who lives in Virginia. We're actually trying to bring her to Rhode Island to be closer to us. And she is in the process of selling her house, and she got an offer, which is a huge, huge joy. But tomorrow is the home inspection. So I'd like to pray for prayers for that, just that they don't find anything astronomically expensive that she needs to fix before she can sell the home that I grew up in. And Sam and I are going to go down next week just to say goodbye to my home place. So prayers for our safe travels. Thanks.
I have two concerns. The first is for my sister Sherry, who about a week and a half ago developed a really serious staph infection and ended up in the hospital. She was in intensive care for several days, but thank God she's improving. She's out of intensive care, so that's good news, but she's still pretty sick. So prayers for Sherry. And then also I'd like to ask for prayers for one of my friends, Jess. Jess was diagnosed with ovarian cancer about a year and a half ago, and she underwent surgery, chemotherapy, you know, the works, and it looked like things were going pretty well, but she recently discovered that she needs some more surgery because there's still some evidence of cancer. So prayers for Jess.
I'd like to thank the two members of the congregation who helped me shovel out, Ed Fitzpatrick and Dylan Little. Great. Thank you very much for that.
Hi, I'd like prayers for my 3-hour glucose challenge tomorrow morning. I failed my first one. I'd really like to pass this time. It's the test for gestational diabetes. And Marcelo and I have a big joy. You can see how pouty he's been the last few days. Daddy comes home tonight after 2.5 weeks in the Philippines.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of grace and glory, on your people pour your power. We come to you as we are, ever seeking, it seems, ever asking, but also remembering the blessings of your presence and the power that you show forth in so many dimensions of life. You who created this world are ever creating, moving in ways towards justice, peace, and joy for all your people. We pray for our world. We lift up those places of our world where joy and hope seems to be in short supply. May you move in and through us and through all your people, that we might be truly a community of life. We give thanks this day for the joys of life, for our confirmation class continuing underway under Pastor Ginny's leadership, for the youth and the mentors who are engaged in walking this phase of the journey of faith. May you continue to work in and through them in this time as they move forward. We give thanks for Julia and the hard work that has enabled her to be admitted to Tufts. We pray that you would work in with her and all of our students as they seek to better themselves and as they look and hope and pray for the options that are ahead for them. We give thanks for and pray for the safe return of art from the Philippines, this opportunity to travel here. And we ask your blessing on this family as they are reunited again. We praise you, O God, for your continuing presence in tough situations, for your grace and the ability to see it as you have been working with the Kegumucheri family towards Ashley's adoption. We pray for these final phases of the process and the plan to return to Kenya soon, to hopefully finalize this and bring Ashley home. We pray for B's son Aaron and Christy and Tatum in Karachi and for people who serve near and far, for Nancy Collins as she travels in Africa, for our continued work to bring hope and be a partner to the Chisefu Theological College. We pray, great God, for those who need healing in body, mind, or spirit, for those who are named and unnamed by us today, for Walter, for Elena as she undergoes testing this week, for Jess and Sherry, for Juliet and Rhonda and Wanda, for health and pain situations which defy easy solutions or quick fixes, for those walking and waking through the challenge of addiction, for those in cancer treatment, for Tiffany, for Ray. We pray, O Lord, that your light would shine through in all ways, in all places, in our presbytery and wider church as we struggle with difficult issues across our differences. We pray for energy for those who are seeking to work to bring reconciliation and hope and a spirit of humility and grace and justice within our presbytery. We pray for those who are looking for work in these days, for those who struggle with homelessness, and for all who would walk with them in that journey. We pray, O Lord, for the Freedom Food Farms in this impending move. We give thanks, O God, that you are a God who walks with us no matter where we might walk in unexpected times. For the transitions of life, we seek your prayers. For Julia and her family, and particularly for this inspection tomorrow, and the goodbye to a family home. Help us, O God, ever to turn to you first in our lives, in our faith, to be bold in our faith, looking to you alone to guide our discipleship, with energy, imagination, intelligence, and above all, love. For in you, O God, truly all things are possible. We pray in the power of the one who lived this life, who walks with us still, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It is time for the children. Hi there. How are all of you today?
Good, good.
Awesome. That's even better yet. You know what that is, don't you?
Salt.
Salt. What do you like salt on?
Crackers.
Crackers? Have you ever tried? Have you ever had crackers without salt?
Oh,
do you like them without salt?
No.
Like crackers with salt, it's better, right? There's all kinds of stuff that's better with salt, like popcorn. Can you imagine? Can you imagine potato chips without salt? Yeah. So anyway, salt's pretty important, isn't it? It makes a lot of our foods taste good. We might call salt, you know, really the spice of our life because we have salt on a lot of stuff. But you know, there's something else I think of as kind of the spice of life. That's love. And we all know we are loved, I hope. We all know we're loved by our who? By God, right. And that's very important that we know we're loved by God. And we're loved by who else, probably? Your parents. Your families. Mary and Jesus. There's a lot of love around, isn't there? Yeah, lots of love. And that's really important. That's kind of like a spice in our life, is to know we're loved. And the next thing to do is, if you know you're loved, is to share your love. Sister's sitting here hugging. How else do we show our love to other people? We're loved, we love others. How else do we show our love? Helen? Tell them. That's a good way to do it. We can write letters to them. How do you suppose I let my children in Pakistan know I love them? I email them. Email rather than letters, I email them. You know what my son does for me when he comes to visit? He cooks me my meals. That's how he shows me he loves me. Do you help, like, around the house?
I do chores.
You do chores?
Good,
then you picked up your toys and put them away and everything, didn't you?
The parents did the dirty stuff and they cleaned
it up. Well, good. So if you help your parents pick up your, and you pick up your toys without being asked, do you ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, pick up your toys without even being asked. You can take your dishes to the kitchen if you're real, real careful.
Yeah.
What? Help your sister get dressed. That's a good thing to do, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can do to show your love, aren't there? Now, I'm gonna try to teach you a little song, and it's kind of for the adults out there. You'll have heard it before, but I changed the words. If you're loved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're loved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're loved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're loved and you know it, clap your hands. You want to try it with me? Okay. If you're loved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're loved and you know it, clap your hands. If you're loved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. If you're loved and you know it, clap your hands. We can add a lot of verses to that, but I think it might make too much racket. And your Sunday school teachers probably wouldn't like it if we did the whole song.
So another time we'll sing it all together, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, that we know we're loved by you, God, by Jesus, by our parents, by our sisters and brothers. We thank you, God, for love that really spices up our lives and help us to show our love to others so that they will have some spice of life, too. Thank you, God, for love. Amen. You can go to Sunday school.
The middle school is also excused to your class upstairs today. Please join me in a prayer of illumination. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading today comes from the Old Testament. It's Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 9. It's found in your Pew Bibles on page 647 and the large print Bible on page 841. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicators shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." The New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20, found in your Pew Bible on page 4, in the large print Bible on page 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may have noticed that I use the Old Testament quite a bit. And perhaps it goes back to the thing that Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus came with a higher authority. And so, there is the hope that maybe people will be carried back to what they originally knew of the law. What's happened over the years has been this layering on. Here we have the law. Now, so-and-so says, well, you should do this. And then so-and-so else says, well, you should do this. And then Rabbi Hillel says, well, you should do this. And by the time Jesus is working on the earth, there have been all of these little rules added to observing the Sabbath. And so what Jesus, I think, is saying here, we need to go back and remember the law, which is the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Book of Moses. And we need to look back at what the prophets said. And when we do that, we have the purest sense of what God demands of us. And so we can go back to Isaiah and have a pretty good idea of some of the things that we are supposed to be doing in the clearest and simplest form, without embellishment, without anybody's interpretations. It's just straight out what we should be doing. And so I looked at Isaiah for today, and it's kind of a conversation between God and the people. Shout! Do not hold back. Announce to my people their rebellion. God is upset. As well God might be, because we humans are a rebellious sort, in case you hadn't noticed. We always like to push the limits. We always come up with our own inventions of how it is to be good and what we can do, what we can't do. And these people were no different. And they have been doing something that they call fasting, which is a communal kind of thing in this day. And it would be a parallel to our sense of worship. They are fasting. They are being penitent. We say a prayer of confession. They're doing a similar sort of thing when they are fasting. They are being penitent. And yet they seek God, and they seem to be a nation that practices righteousness, but God has a problem with them. They say, well, we fast. Why don't you respond to us? We're doing everything we're supposed to do. And God says, look, you serve your own purposes on your fast days. You oppress your workers. You fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Seems to me that they have some of the same problems that have been observed in recent years about Christians. They're a little hypocritical. Go worship on Sunday, but expect everybody else to work. It's been a long time since there were blue laws. A lot of you probably never even heard of them. It meant that the stores were closed on Sunday. What a marvel. Isn't that something? Can you imagine that happen? I'm amazed they close on Christmas now. But they do, thank goodness. So anyway, they oppress their workers. They're only interested in their own well-being. They're there for their own good. Because, oh, well, it feels pretty good to sit here and fast. I mean, other than the discomfort of not eating. But we're being very pious, aren't we? Aren't we good? We're really good. And so they're doing it for their own purposes. And then they quarrel and fight. Oh, we Presbyterians don't know anything about quarreling and fighting, do we? We just had Presbytery meeting yesterday. The three of us that were there, well, it wasn't always pleasant. And so, quarrel and fight. And then you strike with a wicked fist. Well, maybe we don't lash out literally with a fist, but, you know, there are these lovely things called words. And boy, can we lash meanly with our tongue and use our words. And so, here we have Isaiah speaking to people thousands of years ago. But it seems to me like perhaps people have not changed all that much. We still suffer from the same problems. So what are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to make it better? God asks it in a question form, so it may not be as clear as we would like. This is the fast that I choose. Loose the bonds of injustice. Undo the thongs of the yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your home? When you see them naked, to cover them? These are the things we're supposed to be doing. Release the yoke of oppression. It's not as evident in our country. We don't see people walking around with huge baskets hanging on their shoulders. But any of you who lived in other countries or have traveled in other countries, you've seen people having to haul water for miles upon miles. You've seen people being used as beasts of burden to carry the things to the market. Loads of wood piled on top of their heads, their shoulders, their backs. And Isaiah calls for the people to release the yoke of oppression. And we can say, oh, we do good things. We have food pantries, we feed the hungry. We give our clothes so that people who are unclothed have clothes. And yet, that does not change anything. It does not address the systemic injustice that lies behind all of the people who are hungry and homeless and without jobs or with inadequate income. I was shocked to read that there's slavery in this country still. Farm workers locked into huts at night and then released the next morning to go pick their tomatoes, their oranges, or whatever. In the United States, tomato workers went on strike and organized. They managed to get a raise. They now make 46 cents a pound for picking tomatoes. When I go out to eat, I feel guilty because I know that that food server makes $4.25 or $26 an hour. And if I don't leave a tip, they don't go home with enough for supper. Systemic injustice. We can't just keep putting Band-Aids on the problem. One of the reasons we're trying to raise money for the Shesefu Theological College is so they can have wells. What we take for granted, turning on the water faucet and having drinkable water, as many of you know, doesn't exist in other countries. There are no faucets. And if they do find water, it's not necessarily pure. So what is the worship God demands of us? We can come to worship. We can do all the things that we feel are good things to do, and they are. But we have to be very careful that we do not end up like some congregations. I read an account this week by somebody named Andrew Foster Connor. Andrew Foster Connor wrote about this church that that decided during Lent to have a few of their members go out and try to find the suffering Christ. So they went out into the streets of their city with some of the homeless people they had been working with. It was kind of a cold night, and around midnight it started raining. And they decided they'd see if they could find some shelter. So they saw a church. It was having an all-night prayer vigil, and they went to the church. The leader of this group was really a very well-known pastor in the community. She walked through the door of the church, and there was a guard standing there. And he told her very politely, but very firmly, "I am here to keep homeless people like you out." And so they went back out into the cold and the rain. They found the suffering of Christ locked outside the church. We can become so complacent and so content with what we're doing, thinking that what we are doing is enough, that it's good, that we forget that there is always more that we can do. And true worship means that we come in here and we don't pat ourselves on the back. We don't get comfortable. But we come in here not to feel good about ourselves or to say, "I enjoyed that sermon." Or to even go out and say, "Oh, I learned something today." We come in here to encounter the Word of God. We come in here to encounter God and to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We come in here to have a revelation of what God wants of us. And it's not to sit in the pews. Even when they're uncomfortable and hard, maybe that should be a reminder to us to not get too comfortable and to bask in our religiosity. And we need to remind ourselves that it's when we're on the edge, when things are unfortunately in transition, that we probably are pressed the most to be creative, to be the most open to God, and to do the most in God's service. So come, let us worship. Let us be inspired. Let us seek revelation. And let us go wherever God calls us, scary and as uncomfortable as it might be. Let us pray. Oh God, your word to us sometimes is awfully hard. Help us to open ourselves to you, to your will, to your revelation. And go where you would have us go. Do what you would have us do to bring your justice, your peace, your righteousness to your creation. Amen.
Please stand and join in the affirmation of faith. God instructs his church and equips it for mission through preaching and teaching. By these, when they are carried out in fidelity to the scriptures and dependence upon the Holy Spirit, the people hear the word of God and accept and follow Christ. The message is addressed to men and women in particular situations. Therefore, effective preaching, teaching, and personal witness require disciplined study of both the Bible and the contemporary world. All acts of public worship should be conducive to men's and women's hearing of the gospel in a particular time and place, and responding with fitting obedience.
Now it's the time to join in giving of our tithes and offerings. Lord, please accept these gifts we bring to you. We pray that you bless them and help us use them to do your will in this church and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go into the world, mindful of the people around you that you can serve and love. And now may the grace of our love, Jesus Christ, the fellowship of our Father, the Creator, and the Holy Spirit be with you all. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.